Please be seated. The Persian Gulf War was the first time that I realized that the world was bigger than my 8-year-old life. I didn't have any family in the military, but I knew a lot of people that did. And I went to a private Christian school that talked a lot about the military. Back then, we still went to wars with a sense of national purpose and pride. Today, that's less clear, but then, at least in the community that I found myself in, there was a real sense of solidarity about the war. There was a very clear sense that we were the good guys going to fight the bad guys, and I remember asking my dad about it. And he explained it to me. We had a family globe. And I remember him taking the globe and showing me where Kuwait was and where Iraq was and Saudi Arabia. And he explained to me about oil and how important it was and why we were flying all the way around the earth to go fight for it. It was a lot to take in for an 8-year-old. But my questions were probably nothing compared to the children that I went to school with and played with, whose fathers were in the midst of the actual war. For many Americans, it was a scary time. It was full of grief and confusion. In addition to teaching me about the Gulf War, my dad taught me many other things. One of the most important things he taught me about was a musical group known as Styx. I remember listening to their 1990 album, Edge of the Century, in my dad's car with the volume all the way up. Styx were an American rock band from the 70s and 80s, and they were led by a devout Roman Catholic, Dennis DeYoung. And if you don't know who they are, you might recognize their songs, Come Sail Away or Mr. Roboto. The second track on their album, Edge of the Century, was a softer song that was released at just the right time, a time when our country was just beginning to enter into the global crisis in the Middle East. Against a culture of rising anxiety, Dennis DeYoung sung the hymn-like ballad, Show Me the Way, a song that begins, Every night I say a prayer in the hopes that there's a heaven. And it goes on for quite a bit. As the song broke into the top 10 of the Billboard charts, it struck an emotional chord with the American people. Within a couple months of the song's release, there was a remix of the track known as the Desert Shield Remix. The remix was the original song, overdubbed with radio call-ins from military officials, soldiers, their families, and clips of passionate congressional debates about U.S. involvement and so on. And for a while, a day didn't go by where you didn't hear the song twice on the radio. Back then, we still listened to the radio. In the midst of turmoil and stress, in the face of doubt and loss of faith, Dennis DeYoung, in a prayer to God, cried out, Show me the way. And a nation joined him in chorus. And here we are in the gospel for today. Christ begins in our gospel reading with, Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. Why are the disciples troubled? What crisis is Jesus speaking into? The Gospel of John is broken into two main sections, the Book of Signs and the Book of Glory. And the Book of Signs is the first half where Christ goes about performing signs and miracles, announcing who he is. In the Book of Signs, Jesus announces to the world that the Son of God has appeared in the flesh. But in the Book of Glory, the drama of the Gospel begins to pick up and intensify as Christ enters into his final days, his passion, the days that we call Holy Week. A lot happens in the first chapter of the Book of Glory. Christ washes his disciples' feet. He gives them the new commandment to love one another. He announces that one of the disciples will betray him. And he tells Peter, the rock of faith, that Peter will in fact deny Christ three times. And our passage immediately follows all that. Right after Christ told the disciples just how bad things are going to get, Jesus then informs the disciples that he's going to leave them. And he tells them, this is fine. Now, if you aren't anxious yet, you aren't paying attention. Why is it fine? Why is it okay that Christ is going to abandon his disciples? Jesus says it's fine because his disciples know where he's going. And then immediately one of the disciples, Thomas, exclaims, Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way? Show me the way. And this is the exact context for Christ's famous words. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. I have seen this verse cited many times as a way to criticize progressives and liberals and Mormons and Muslims and Buddhists and all kinds of people who don't know or don't believe that Jesus is the only way to the Father. But who is Jesus talking to here? Who is he correcting? Who is he criticizing? Get the log out of your own eye, because he's talking to us. He's talking to Christians. He's talking to the closest disciples in history, people that knew God in a way that none of us ever have. These are the people who Jesus is criticizing. These are the ones that he's telling about the way. In the 5th century, Saint Cyril of Alexandria fought against the heresy known as Nestorianism. Cyril taught us that Jesus Christ, the Nazarene, really is the eternal Son of God, the second person of the Trinity, the Word made flesh, who tasted suffering and death for our sake and for our salvation. And in his commentary on the Gospel of John, Saint Cyril reflects on the meaning of Christ's words, that he is the way, the truth, and the life. He notices the basic point that Jesus is the only mediator between God and men. But then he goes on to read Christ's words more deeply. The way, the truth, and the life correspond to three things. The way corresponds to moral virtue, the way you live your life. The truth corresponds to orthodox belief, belief in the true faith. Life corresponds to hope and life, or a life of hope. In other words, Saint Cyril sees what Paul refers to as the Christian virtues of faith, hope, and love. Moral virtue corresponds to love. Orthodoxy corresponds to faith, and hope in life corresponds to hope. The Christian life, and remember, Jesus is talking to Christians here, involves a deliberate choice to follow the Son of God. Jesus says the only path to the Father is through the path of his own life, a life of faith, hope, and love. And to follow Christ is to pursue Christ the truth, Christ our life, Christ the way. No one comes to the Father except through Christ, all of Christ. To stray from faith, or to stray from hope, or to stray from love, is to stray from the path of Christ. To be Christ's disciple is to be somewhere along the way on this path. Some of us further along the path than others, but there is no other way to God. in the midst of an anxious, sick, restless, and dying world, Christ's resurrection is a radical breaking forth of the light of God. But not a light merely to be seen at a distance. The light of Christ is a light that calls us towards it, into it, deeper and deeper, so that the more we look into the face of Christ and into his wounds, we begin to see the face of God our Father. Christian, this is your call. You are called to Christ. No one comes to the Father except through him. And in Christ, we find a healing peace that surpasses all understanding. In chapter 16 of John's Gospel, as we move closer and closer to the cross, Jesus tells the disciples, "No more symbols. I'm going to be as clear as possible." And he says, "Do you now believe? Behold, the hour is coming. Indeed, it has come. When you will be scattered, each to his own home, and will leave me alone. Yet I am not alone, for the Father is with me. I have said these things to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but take heart, I have overcome the world." In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.